When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am a co-director, or the co-director, of charts at Billboard. Joining me is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hi, Katie.
Hi, I am not the senior editor of Billboard.com. I am a senior editor.
Is there only one senior editor?
There are multiple of us, yes.
Katie and I had this conversation the other day about the grammar I'm supposed to use, because there are two co-directors. But if you're co-something, there can only be two. So it's fair for you to say the co-director.
100%.
Because the reader or the listener knows there must be only one other.
As a grammar dork, I really loved this question. And he is indeed the co-director of charts for Billboard.
But you think of the as being a singular thing.
Yeah, well, you are the co-director because
there are two.
Exactly. And the word co automatically says that there's somebody else involved.
Right.
Yeah. Gary, oh, man, we could really get into grammar on this.
Gary Truss, the other co-director of charts, if you're listening, hi.
Hi, other co-director of charts.
The Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop. I just like the way that rolls off my tongue. I thought of that. On Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you could always count on a lively discussion between Katie and I about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Pop.
That word really pops.
Do you ever wonder why the music gets you high? Takes you on a ride?
Oh, man.
Feel
yeah,
it when
sing.
Your
Woo.
Body starts to rock. Anyway, on this week's show, what are we talking about? Well, we have an interview with the Billboard 200 chart-topping group Pentatonix.
The group of the week.
The group of the week. They celebrated their first number one album on the Billboard 200, so stick around for that interview later on in the show. Before that, we will dive into just how Pentatonix got to number one and how it was actually a pretty close race for the top of the chart. Also in the mix this week on the show, Adele has a new single. You may have heard about it. It's called Hello.
Hello.
We'll be talking about it, what we think of it, and how it's off to an incredibly blazing, hot, fiery start. And it's heading for a big debut on the Hot 100 next week. Speaking of the Hot 100, The Weeknd's Hills is still number one, continuing to block Drake's Hotline Bling from the top of the chart. Will Drake ever go to number one? We'll talk about that. Plus, Taylor Swift's 1989 album celebrates its first year on the chart, on the Billboard 200. It has never left the top 10.
Man.
Which is nuts. We're going to talk about how that is pretty historic. It's not the first album to do so. Before we get there, can you think of the other albums that have done it?
Ooh,
think
you about have a that. Little homework.
Think about that for the next few minutes until we get there, and then we'll reveal. But as always, we have some housekeeping notes. If you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss a single episode, and please give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore the fabulous, magical world of podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com, Billboard Podcasts. That preamble is just so preamble-y. We're getting to that time of year where every day just brings like boatloads of news, boatloads of new charts and new songs and new. So it seems like even if we record this now, we're actually recording this on Tuesday this week. Normally we record the show on Monday, but we were doing it on Tuesday morning. It doesn't matter when we record this because as soon as it posts, there's like five new things that just happened. So we're playing catch up. Pentatonix, I think, is one of the big stories this week.
Yeah.
Their new album, it's a self-titled album, debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart. It's their first, this is how they're calling it, it's their first full-length all original album.
Right, because they're known for their a cappella covers,
right.
And that's how they got famous on the sing-off. And
they competed on the sing-off like 4 years, 5 years
and
ago.
And so now they're doing their own music.
Right.
Still doing the a cappella arrangements they're known for, but it's their own stuff.
Yeah, the whole album is actually a cappella. And when you listen to the album, don't really immediately think that. Like, you think the sounds you're hearing, I'm like, oh, that's it. Oh, no, my God, that's someone's mouth.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, oh, my God, that's someone's mouth. But actually, and by the way, the album itself, there is actually one cover. It's a cover of Shy's If I Ever I Fall in Love.
If you're going to cover something, that's the one to cover.
It's pretty...
It's a karaoke classic.
It's great. Like, and it features Jason Derulo.
Awesome.
And actually, stick around for the interview later. We talk about how they got together with Jason to record the song. And it's a fun story. And yeah, so anyway, but Pentatonix debuts at number one. It sold, it didn't sell. Remember, we're talking about units, consumption units, fancy consumption
units.
It
moved more than.
Earned.
Earned more than.
It shifted slightly more than 98,000 units, of which 88,000 were in pure album sales. Right behind it was Demi Lovato's Confident with 98,000 units, of which 77,000 were in pure album sales. So it was a pretty close race for number one, which we actually wrote like a week ago. We said that it was the two albums
neck
were fine.
Yeah,
so it could have gone either way. Worked out for Pentatonix. They got their first number one.
Yeah.
Demi has actually been number one before. So
we're just sharing the wealth in the music world.
Right. And also, this is her, I think it's her fifth straight top five album.
Wow.
Which is her entire output.
Yeah.
So she's doing okay.
Yeah. Don't feel bad for Demi.
She's all right.
She's still confident.
She's still very confident. She's confident in her chart success. Also in the top 10, Machine Gun Kelly's General Admission debuts at number four. He shoots his way in at number four.
Oh, goodness.
The gun puns.
Oh, man.
Gun puns. Oh, my God. Also in the top 10, The Game's documentary 2.5 debuts at number six. That
his
follows,
second album.
Yeah, the second documentary two. First, there was the documentary two, which debuted at number two a week ago. And then this week, the documentary 2.5.
Debuted at number 2.5.
Yeah. That would be funny. And then at number 10, Coheed and Cambria debut with The Color Before the Sun. Also, for fans of the Kidz Bop Kids albums, because there are many, the new Kidz Bop 30 album debuts at number 12. And it's actually the first main numbered Kidz Bop album. Because, you know, like... Kidz Bop, and Now That's What I Call Music, will have their main line where it's like, now 52, now 53,
right.
Kidz Bop.
And then they'll have the Christmas or the, yeah.
Now That's What I Call Labor Day.
Exactly.
Right. Now That's What I Call a Patriotic Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Kidz Bop Hanukkah. That may actually exist. They have Kidz Bop Halloween.
It's just the dreidel song repeated 12 times.
Dreidel, 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 dreidel. It's just like the dreidel mega mix. That album, Kidz Bop 30, debuts at number 12. It's the first Kidz Bop album from the main line not to debut in the top 10 in a rather long time. So that's kind of interesting.
I'm looking forward to listening to it. Are there any, do you know if there's any wildly inappropriate songs that they cover this time?
I don't.
I feel like there's always at least one.
There's always one.
Where they have to change like all the lyrics to make it, you know, be Kidz Bop appropriate.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're covering The Weeknd's Hills.
Right. Trap Queen?
Hotline Bling? I don't know. Moving on. We're going to look at next week's Billboard 200 chart. Things are ramping up. All the big albums are starting to come out hot and heavy. 5 Seconds of Summer and Carrie Underwood both have new albums that came out last Friday. 5 Seconds of Summer's album is called Sounds Good, Feels Good. Should probably have a good debut at number one.
That's awesome. But Carrie Underwood is stiff competition, though.
So
you never know.
Five Sauce is going to do, according to industry forecasters, could do maybe 180,000 overall units. And Carrie's Storyteller album could start at number two with maybe 165,000 units. So it's not terribly far away, but right now it looks like there's enough of a gap between them that people are pretty confident.
Those are both big weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think from now for the rest of the year, it's going to be pretty significant.
All the holiday albums
All the albums that we still don't even know, that we assume are coming, but we just don't know when.
Mm.
Like, Rihanna's album.
For instance.
Right. Which we know
now
has...
Now we know Adele's coming. Now we know when Bieber, One Direction, but Rihanna's still a...
It's like you're
mystery.
Like you're not going to pick November 20th, which is when Adele comes out. You're not going to pick the 13th, which is One Direction and Justin Bieber. I mean, if you care about wanting to be number one,
you're running out of dates.
It's like, do you pick the week after? Like, which? Like, do you the Friday after Thanksgiving? Which
is a huge shopping day, and it's the first Black Friday that will be the release day Friday,
right?
Also, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think there's some sort of I've been reading about there's some sort of thing that's happening with I think Target or Walmart that is doing something funky with Black Friday that week, where it's kind of throwing a wrench into things.
Oh, interesting.
Where
stay tuned to the Pop Shop podcast for more. On Black Friday,
like it's making things complicated. But we just talked about Adele a second ago. Her album, 25, comes out on November 20th. The first single, Hello. Hello.
Hello.
is it Adele you're looking for? We're going to hear that for months. It came out last Friday in full. The last time that, if you listened to last week's show, all we had heard at that point was a snippet. And
we were already super pumped just from that 20 seconds we heard in a commercial.
We talked for like 10 minutes about Adele. So we're going to try to rein it in a little bit. But now that we actually have real information,
I'm even more excited.
So you watched the video?
I watched the video. I woke up because it came out in the middle of the night for
like
Americans.
2:30 Eastern, I think.
Yeah. So I
in the morning?
I did not stay up to listen to it. But the minute I woke up, I went to my TV and put the video on my TV.
Oh, wow. For the full experience.
Oh, yeah. The full experience. And so it was the first time I heard the full song and saw the video all at once. And the song and the video are just incredible. And definitely delivered on the expectations from Adele, I think.
Yeah. There was a tweet that a friend of the Pop Shop, Sam Lansky, tweeted. He said something like, about how Adele's squad is nothing but like autumn leaves and a strong gust of wind or something like that. Because in the video, it's basically her and, the other character, which appears to be her ex-boyfriend.
Who is played by Tristan Wilds of 90210 fame and also a rapper who goes by Mac Wilds. Keith is like, I don't know about this gentleman.
I like when you say 90210 fame. I'm like, so he was in the original 90210?
Well,
no, he wasn't.
The reboot was just called 90210. So if you say just 90210.
My eyes are crossing. And I'm letting out a deep sigh inside
myself.
But
I was really excited when I watched the video. I was like, oh my God, is that the kid from 90210? And turned out it was. He's done a bunch of interviews over the weekend, too, about, how it all came together. And
it was just a regular
Billboard.com.
Okay, visit Billboard.com for all of your,
for all of your Tristan Wilds news.
For all the Adele coverage you could ever possibly want. That's interesting. Well, the video is beautiful. I think the song is what you want from Adele.
Powerhouse chorus.
Her voice seems like to go higher than she said in an interview that she's able to hit higher notes now than she has been before.
That's incredible.
Which is crazy.
Yes.
And it's dramatic and epic and it's relatable and it's what you want from Adele.
I feel like shout out to her producers too, because the way that they convey the power of her voice, without, breaking your radio speakers is really impressive. Like you can tell how much, bombast she brings to, that chorus, but without, hurting your ears.
there's something to be said for, and I'm not going to name names, but listeners, Katie.
Uh-oh.
There are those artists who have...
Secret shade.
Who have amazing, powerful voices.
Yes.
But when you hear some of their songs or them live... It comes across as yelly.
Sure, shouty. Yes.
Yeah, shouty.
Totally.
I'm like, there's a difference between impressing me with how shouty you are and actually having sort of an understated, restrained, but at the same time still powerful.
Yeah.
And I think with Adele, she could be like, let me shout at you.
The dynamics of Adele's voice are just insane, and it comes across whether she's performing live or on her produced records.
This song was co-written and produced by Greg Kurstin. He produced Pink's Blow Me One Last Kiss, Kelly Clarkson's Stronger, and Sia's Chandelier.
Those are all bombastic songs as well.
Among other, but Kelly Clarkson's Stronger, she could have screamed at you, but it was the right kind of. And C.S. Chandelier,
oh my God,
she can, you know, belt at you, but at the same time, there is the fine line.
Yep, yep.
Fine line. So clearly there is
Greg Kurstin knows how to deal with these big voices.
Big divas.
Yeah.
Hoopda.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My thoughts exactly.
Over the weekend, I posted a story to Billboard.com about how we think the song is going to sell. Hello, because it came out last Friday. The tracking week ends on Thursday. At that point, it seemed like it was probably going to break the one-week sales record for a digital song, which is Flo Rida's Right Round, believe it or not.
Hmm.
I know. In 2009, I believe, it did, I want to say, 636,000 downloads in its first week. I don't have the number in front of me. I realize that's tacky and stupid. Normally, in the old podcast days, I would used to have a computer in front of me, and now we don't. So usually I would just tappa, and like look really smart and like look up something, and I don't have that. So now it's just me saying, I think it was 636. That seems to be in the bag. From what we're hearing from industry sources.
This does not surprise me.
And then it seems like the number's even getting bigger.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, by the time you hear this, like, it, I mean, I'm afraid to say a number because it maybe the bottom drops out.
Right.
But it seems like getting the record for one-week sales is probably in the bag. Now, interestingly, we're talking about digital downloads.
Mm-hmm.
If we talk about just physical singles or just singles in general, can you possibly guess what the...
I was going to say, where does one get a physical single these days?
Well, I mean, they still make, like, you know, 12-inch vinyl singles.
Right, okay.
But back in the olden days,
yeah,
pre-digital,
mm-hmm,
say, like, you know, before the late 1990s or before the early 2000s, when kind of physical singles were kind of dried up from the marketplace, it was normal that you would go, if you liked a single that you heard on, like, as I explained to young people,
to these things called record stores.
These record stores. And you would, if you enjoyed a song that you saw on TV or heard on the radio, you would go purchase a CD single, perhaps a cassette single.
Or a ka-single, as it was known.
Man, did I have a lot of ka-singles. No, I had something like a lot of ka-singles.
That just takes up a lot of real estate in your house, ka-singles.
I'm so upset that I threw my ka-singles away.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I wish I had them now because cassettes are coming back.
Right.
And we've got cassette store day for Pete's sakes. I digress. So the one-week record for the largest single in terms of when Nielsen Music started tracking sales in 1991, the single-week record for just a single was actually Elton John's Candle in the Wind in 1997,
yeah,
which did over 3 million in 1 week.
Wow.
So
that's crazy to think because now it's, you know, ostensibly easier to get the single.
Yeah,
via digital, but people went out of their way to go get that one.
Well, and remember though, that was in 1997.
Yeah.
That was pre. I mean, we had the internet. However,
pre-iTunes,
it was
pre-iTunes, yeah,
pre-MP3, pre, you know, YouTube, pre all that.
Yeah.
So, if you wanted to hear that song at all,
you had to sit and wait for it on the
radio
and tape it.
Or go buy it.
Or go buy it.
So that's what people did. They went and bought it.
Yeah.
So that's why those numbers are so huge. And also because it was a charity single, Princess Diana. It was about Princess Diana who passed away. It was a song that Elton John sang at her funeral. He rearranged the lyrics for Candle in the Wind, which is a lot of things that...
A lot of things had to line up for that, yes.
So will Adele's Hello do 3 million? No.
Yeah, that...
No.
That's a moment in time that will not be repeated, probably.
But in terms of downloads, I think, you know, that the record is within reach. And
sorry, Flo Rida.
Sorry, Flo. Adele's moving in. So that means that Hello, which does not debut on the Hot 100 this week, because some people thought that it would debut.
Oh, I see what you mean, because Friday is the beginning of that. So it'll debut on next week's Hot 100.
Yes.
Right.
So the way the Hot 100 chart works, the Hot 100, of course, is our signature singles chart. It's been around since 1958. It blends airplay, streams, and sales together to come up with the 100 most popular songs in the country each week. The way the chart works is that its airplay tracking week runs from Friday to Thursday. No, Sorry. Uh-oh. Let me start that again.
Where's the other co-director of Charts, Gary Trust, when you need him?
The Airplay Week, I apologize. The Airplay Week runs Monday through Sunday.
Okay.
And then its streaming and sales week runs Friday to Thursday.
Okay.
So.
I did not understand that distinction. Thank you for explaining that to me and the listeners.
Right. And so Adele's Hello could have debuted on the Hot 100 this week on the November 7th dated chart with just 3 days of its airplay.
Okay.
However, it did not have enough points to get onto the chart.
That is shocking to me.
Well, it had a huge debut on our Airplay charts just from those 3 days of Airplay, but it's a lot harder to debut on the Hot 100 now.
Because it combines
of the streams.
Everything. Yeah. Yep.
Because of all those things, it's just harder to get the points.
Yep.
So what this means is it's got a very good chance of debuting at number one.
Right.
And that would give Adele her first debut at number one. It would be historic because hardly anything debuts at number one, even though Justin Bieber just did a few weeks ago, but that was
interesting thing. That was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
And it would be her fourth number one single.
Wow.
Yeah. Lots of Adele talk, and that's all we're going to be talking about for the next month until the album comes out.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. other new single news, in addition to Hello, Justin Bieber's new single, Sorry, will probably also have a big debut next week. In all this Adele talk, we forget about Justin Bieber. His track, Sorry, could do hundreds of thousands of downloads as well.
Yes.
And it could certainly have a top 10 debut, if not higher.
And it also arrived with that awesome dance video.
With
all the
ladies in the sunglasses?
Yeah, it's a really cool video and totally unexpected. And
is that considered the real video or is that just
video? They referred to it as a dance video. So I'm guessing there's still another video on the way. But
probably a
that
lyric
still
video.
Will help, you know, get it into the top 10.
Then a dance lyric video.
Yeah.
Then a lyrical dance video.
And don't forget the teasers of all of those videos.
Do everything you can. I like the song.
Yeah.
The sort of fake horn in it sounds like something else, and I can't put my finger on it. But the whole vibe to me, it's more of the if you've enjoyed What Do You Mean and Where Are You Now, you'll like Sorry.
I like the direction he's going in because it's kind of weird and different and cool.
Yeah.
So go Bieber.
Yeah. Gwen Stefani has a new single called Used to Love You.
I'm obsessed with it.
Full disclosure, I've heard like 2 minutes of it.
You haven't seen the video then yet?
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. The video is just, it's very Sinead O'Connor.
I was going to say close up of her crying.
Yes. But it's like she is making direct eye contact with the camera lens as if everyone is Gavin Rossdale, basically.
This is her first single after her breakup with Gavin Rossdale, her husband of a very long time, and they also have children together. And I think their divorce is getting finalized.
It just got
right
finalized
now.
Like yesterday. Yeah, the details of the divorce. And they, it's just like a really emotional video because she's kind of crying and tearing up and just staring into your soul the entire time. And the lyrics of the song are just heartbreaking. Like, you know, I realized for the first time since I hated you that I used to love you. Oh, it's just amazing. It's been a big week for breakup songs, basically, between Gwen and Adele.
Yeah, well, I mean, Hello isn't necessarily about...
Oh, it's like more... actually, there's a lot of theories about what it actually is about. She's talked about it, right? That
It's not about a specific person.
It's like... Well, I think she said, like, friends that, like, were friends pre-fame that she's kind of lost touch with. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but it's, I mean, you can obviously apply it to relationship.
How do we feel about the whole like sort of promotion of Gwen's song? And I don't think it's her intention or how it's being promoted, but it seems like, you know, all the headlines are like, listen to Gwen Stefani's emotional new song. I'm like, well, aren't we kind of like milking this?
A divorce?
It's like tacky.
Okay, but here's the deal. As a longtime like No Doubt fan and like growing up with that music and loving it so much, it's like to me, I think of it as a return to like Tragic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's like also to me her most fruitful like creative time and the songs that were the most poignant to me. And so, yes, I don't wish her heartbreak or wish that she had gone through a divorce, but at the same time, like she's really, really good at mining those emotional relationships for amazing pop songs. So
I mean some of the greatest pop songs and most emotional pop songs that resonate with people are those that come from, you know, relationship troubles and difficult relationships and we're so interested in that because we can see ourselves in it.
Yeah.
And we can see the complications of our lives in it. And so, you know, you think of Don't Speak, which is a song that Gwen Stefani is singing to
Tony Canale, who's
Tony
right
Canale.
There in the video.
In the band.
Right there playing the song.
It's their failed relationship.
Yeah.
And yet they still stuck together.
Yeah.
And that also reminds me of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors album.
Yep, exactly.
Where everyone in that group basically slept with one another.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it adds an extra context to the song that you know the, you know, players involved in the
and
in
also
the drama.
Just great songs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's hopefully that, I mean, I've said this before, like, I don't have a lot of interest in people's personal lives and, you know, my pop stars' personal lives. I don't really care that much. But, I, you know, hopefully Gwen and Gavin can, you know, move on and be lovely together. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, and also, by the way, I saw them on all the coaches from The Voice were on Jimmy Fallon last night or The Tonight Show. And it was Gwen and Blake, you know, was splitting from Miranda Lambert.
Yeah.
And then Adam Levine and Pharrell, and all four of them were on there. And I was just like, wow, imagine like the conversation that those folks have like off on the set.
Yep.
Like, drama.
Yeah.
I don't know. In other single news, Missy Elliott finally has a new single called WTF. It's not what you
it's
think
not
it
what
is.
You're thinking.
What is it, Katie?
It's Where They From.
Where They From.
Mm-hmm.
It's her new single with Pharrell. I don't know if it features Pharrell, but I think it's probably produced
There's
by Pharrell.
His voice is in it.
Oh,
so, you
it.
Know, but like anytime he produces something, he's very present.
A snippet of the song premiered during a commercial on Monday Night Football as part of an NBA promo. That was last night. It has been quite a long time since we've had a new Missy Elliott track. The full song will come out on November 13th. By the way, you know, the last songs from Missy to reach any Billboard chart where she was the lead act was way back in 2012. She had two songs out at the same time, Triple Threat and Ninth Inning. They both charted on a couple really like minor digital download charts, and then they kind of vaporized without a trace.
I mean, it's been a full like 10, 12 years since Gossip Folks and since, you know,
I think her last like
freak on.
Thing was like maybe 2008, like Shake Your Pom Poms or something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I have no idea, but that's the huge hits I know were a while back. But obviously there's renewed interest in her considering two things, the Super Bowl with Katy Perry and
Janet Jackson
yeah. song. Like,
burned up.
People are ready for new Missy. I feel like they were so excited to see her in February at the Super Bowl. And this song sounds like classic Missy. It sounds like her biggest hits.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a lot of stuff with new singles, which all are probably heading towards the Hot 100 in the next few weeks. As we said, Sorry from Justin Bieber will probably have a huge debut. I don't think Gwen Stefani is on the chart yet, but she might be very soon. And of course, Missy Elliott, once the single drops, we'll probably see it pop onto the chart. Speaking of the Hot 100, that darn Weekend, still number one. I mean, we like The Weeknd. The Hills is still number one, holding off Drake. You know, it's actually a fairly large gap between Drake.
Oh, so it's not like he is, like, knocking at his door.
No.
Yeah.
No. A lot of people, though, were curious as to how, with all the talk over Hotline Bling's video that came out last week,
mm-hmm.
How is it that it didn't go to number one?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the video would have normally helped Drake on the Hot 100
if
it had been available on a service that provided its music or its video stream information to Nielsen and to Billboard. So Hotline Bling's video for its first week was exclusively viewable only through Apple Music's service. Apple Music does not provide its video stream information to Nielsen, though it does provide its audio streams to Nielsen. So its audio streams are part of our charts. It's just its video streams aren't. And it's not because we don't want them. It's just because they don't provide them. So,
You know, The Weeknd also debuted a video of sorts this past week for the Eminem remix.
Oh, really?
Of The Hills. He did it's like a virtual reality video where it was shot with GoPros and it's like 360. So you can watch it and like scroll around and see all around it. And there's this huge like inferno going on in front of him. It's like The Hills video, but this 360 version of it.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube and Vivo and everything. So, yeah, it's when I saw that come out, I think it came out the day before or after the Hotline Bling video, and I didn't know about the Apple Music caveat at that point, but I was like, oh, here's the weekend again.
Damn, that
just
weekend.
One more thing people are going to watch.
Well, actually, both the weekend and Drake both lost overall Hot 100 points this week. They were both down. Airplay actually is still gaining for Hotline Bling, though, so I don't think it's necessarily over with for Drake. I think, though, he's probably going to have to wait
till Adele's run
thing
is over.
Yeah, because Adele kind of seems like a lock for number one next week, but, you know, we can't definitively say, because who knows what may be happening right now as we record this show. There may be a brand new single from, like, Michael Jackson and Beyonce that drops out of the sky. Who knows?
I'm down with that. Let's make that happen.
Other big action on the Hot 100, Shawn Mendes's Stitches. It rises 5-4 to a new peak on the Hot 100. Yeah.
Man, that's a big hit.
He's just sewing up. Hey.
No.
In fact, he is. There's only two songs that. Actually, no, there's only one song that has an overall gain in points in the Hot 100 this week, not counting debuts. And it's the only one that has a gain.
Wow.
Yeah. So, go Sean. And One Direction's Perfect, which is the debut I just mentioned, debuts at number 10 on the Hot 100, giving One Direction the most top 10 debuts among groups in history. This is their fifth top 10 debut. They actually beat a record previously set by the Beatles.
Wow.
The Beatles had 4 top 10 debuts.
That's huge.
Yeah. And you would think, oh, wait, there's got to be more groups with top. Nope. Strangely enough. So, another.
Well, now that they're a Fab Four, it just only makes sense.
They'll never be the Fab Four.
I just said A.
Yeah.
A Fab Four.
It's funny how the Fab Four and then everything after that became like the pre-Fab Four.
Right.
Like the Monkees.
So, are they the post-Fab Four?
I wonder if the Monkees were ever referred to as the pre-Fab Four.
That's an amazing name if they weren't already. When you said it, I was like, oh, that's a great name. Clearly, that's actually what they were.
Yeah.
Let's go with it.
Back over on the Billboard 200 chart. There's something magical happening.
Historic.
I like that word. Historic. Taylor Swift's 1989 album celebrates a full year in the top 10 on the Billboard 200. The album actually came out a year ago today. This week it is its 52nd week on the chart. It's nuts. 52 weeks. It has never left the top 10. This week it actually dropped 6 to 9. I'm thrilled that it didn't go 6 to 11.
Oh, that would have been.
Man, that would have been sucky.
1 week short.
It has never left the top 10, as I said before. It spent 11 non-consecutive weeks atop the chart. And it is one of only now 5 albums to have spent its first year of charting time in the top 10.
I really appreciate Keith including these stats on my show rundown today, because usually he tests me and I would do a terrible job at this.
Yeah, we're not going to play Let's Guess with Katie. So what that means is the album had to have debuted within the top 10 of the chart and then never left for 52 consecutive weeks.
That is a lot.
So people might be asking, wait, if it's been a year and like the chart was dated this. And it's like, well, I mean, there might be some irregularities in like the number of like weeks between years sometimes or something, or leap year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. This is Taylor Swift's 52nd week in the top 10, all consecutive from its debut at number one. The other 5 albums to do so are Adele's 21, which spent 78 weeks in the top 10, or at least its first 78 weeks were all in the top 10.
So that's like Taylor could still be shooting for that record, basically.
Well, yeah, but considering that the album
fell to 9.
She's been number 9 before.
Okay.
I don't think she's been 10 yet, but I think it's just, as we've said already a couple times in the show, there's so many albums that are coming.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard, but because of the way the chart is compiled now, because it's an overall consumption figure. And as long as she keeps doing well with Wildest Dreams,
if she puts another single out,
that can help her. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be harder for her to get through the holiday season and stay in the top 10.
Okay.
So we will see.
Yeah.
So Adele's 21 spent its first 78 weeks in the top 10. That's not the total number of weeks it's been in the top 10, because it left the top 10 and then came back.
Yeah.
But that's just its first initial 78 weeks. Before that, we had Celine Dion's Falling Into You spent its first 59 weeks in the top 10. Before that, the all-time record holder for the most initial weeks in the top 10, I guess that's the way to say it, was Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen, which spent, get this, its first 84 weeks
wow
in the top 10, which is nuts.
That's insane.
And then before that was Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, which we also talked about earlier in the show when we talked about Gwen Stefani. It spent its first 52 weeks in the top 10. Now, all of this data is referencing when, or is in reference to when the Billboard 200 became an all-encompassing chart in 1963, when we combined our separate mono and stereo mm-hmm. albums charts into one big chart. It was very hard for an album to debut in the top 10 before Nielsen Music started tracking point of sale data in 1991.
Yeah.
Before that, I think only, I want to say, I think I wrote 59 albums debuted in the top 10 between 63 and 1991.
Wow.
So, and then usually your album would kind of have a quick run. It wouldn't stick around on the chart for a bajillion years.
Right.
So some of the huge albums that we think of, like, you know, Thriller, didn't debut in the top 10.
Right.
Or if it did, it fell out of the, you know, top 10 after, like, I mean, it spent like 37 weeks in number one, but once it was done at number one, it would, phew, go out.
Well, then it's kind of amazing to look at the Bruce Springsteen record and the
Fleetwood Mac
record.
Yeah.
That, that they were able to accomplish that.
Yeah.
Chart detour.
Chart craziness. But hey, if you're listening, if you're a fan of Billboard and you're a fan of Billboard charts,
you're a fan of charts.
You're a fan of charts. Yeah. This is totally up your alley.
Yes.
So I think it's time for our Pentatonics interview.
Yes, I think so.
I had the opportunity to go talk to the full group, all five of the folks, a couple weeks ago at a hotel.
So this is before they had their big news about the number one album.
Yeah, this is before the number one, so I couldn't ask them about that. But we did talk about the album and how this is something they've always wanted to do. They've always, you know, they didn't want to just become like a cover group.
Right.
And we talked specifically about a couple songs on the album, including their new Jason Derulo which happens to be a cover. But they were lovely, and I actually interrupted their lunch. Because I got there, and everything was kind of running late, and they were doing a series of interviews, and I walked in, and it was in a hotel room. It was like a hotel suite. And I get there, and there's a whole crew, and they're all setting up, and I'm like, I don't see Pentatonics anywhere. And I no one really tells, like, no one's stopping you from, like, I mean, I didn't know where I was going, even though it was just, like, a room. And I thought, like, I heard, like, I saw rumblings in the back room, and I'm like, oh, I think they're all back there. So I started to walk back there, and then I get there, and it's actually a bedroom, and, like, Pentatonics is, like, sort of, like, laying on a bed and, like, you know, in chairs. They're, like, eating food. They're, like, taking a break, checking their cell phones. I'm like, oh, I think I walked too far. Let me walk backwards now. And then, you know, a couple minutes later go by, and then they all come out, and I was like, I told them, I'm like, I can do it in here. I can record you guys in here while you're eating. You know, I don't want to interrupt you. And they're like, no, we'll come out. And so there's a recurring gag, like, where I kept harassing them. I'm like, I have to let you go back to your lunch. And they're like, shut up about the lunch.
Right.
Anyway, here's our interview with Pentatonics. Yay. Yay! Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Pentatonics!
Hey!
I totally don't believe any of that effervescence right now.
What do you mean?
I stole you guys away from lunch, and now I feel bad because there's food in the other room.
Yeah, we're furious.
Absolutely.
It's over.
I'm here because we're talking about your new album, which is your first album where it's, I think, almost all original material, except there's one cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that from times in the past where I've talked to you on various red carpets, you have always said how you wanted to work towards making an original album. So this is clearly like dream come true moment sort of deal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're so thankful that we finally get this opportunity to just showcase who we want to be as an artist. You know, our own lyrics, our own vision, our own kind of ideas finally, I think, in this album. And we hope that the fans enjoy it.
I was kind of
he covered it.
You're like, nope, he's got it. We're done. at the beginning, was that always the goal? Like, because you released like two or three different EPs, a Christmas album. Was that always the goal? Like, we want to do an original album?
But yeah, I think we've always wanted to be recognized as artists. I think this thing off was just a great platform for us to
develop our sound using covers, but we never wanted to just be kind of a cover band. We wanted to be artists. We do have a lot to say, and I feel like now that we have grown together for 4.5 years now, like, we've really solidified our sound and what we want to do and what we want to say. And
that's so, like,
that's exciting.
On the new album, which I listened to a couple times yesterday, and I have notes, so there's papers and stuff. The songs that I was really impressed by, well, I mean, I was impressed by all of them, but I really liked Rose Gold a lot.
Thank you.
Who wrote the material on the album? Was it you guys collaborating with songwriters that you wanted to work with?
Mm-hmm. Like all of us in different duos and trios with songwriters.
So, like, was it like a writing camp sort of thing where you, like, A&R people matched you up with people, or was it a little bit more
dark? Totally, yeah.
Just totally that. Mm-hmm. It's like, so Rihanna's team came in and Stargate, because I don't actually have the songwriters and producers, so this is where you tell me, who worked on Rose Gold with you?
It was a guy named Drew Pearson.
Oh, okay.
And he's awesome. He was, like, responsible for this Home by Phillip Phillips, and he was, like, this really nice, super chill guy, and he had started the song, and Avi and I met with him, and we were just so inspired by it. I can't take this any longer. I need
you like water. It's on the tip of my tongue. Water is such a great song, too. I Need You Like Water. I mean, just the way the sounds of it, where it's taking what we're familiar with you, and then sort of extending it into something that's a little bit more familiar to, I guess, a sort of a mainstream pop audience, which I know sounds dippy to say. But, like, these songs to me don't sound like they would be out of place on the radio. Was that part of the intention, to sort of go in a route where I would turn on Kiss FM and I would hear these songs on the radio?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's finding the balance.
I think it's also just a part of each one of us, too. I think the album's really eclectic, but the sound that we give ties it all together, and it's just telling of all the different pieces of us too, because we all listen to a bunch of different music too, but all help each other. It was cool to be writing with a bunch of different songwriters and with each other, because we each pull each other in different ways until we find, like, that best possible product. So it was really cool. We'll be sure that the lady
is afraid. How did, and this is the one song that is not a cover, or not, the one song that is a cover, the one with Jason Derulo, Fall in Love. How did that song come together? Like, did you call Jason? Did you run into him backstage at a show? Like, I got this great idea.
It's a funny story. I'll tell it really quick. But basically, we were filming.
Really quick. We've got all the time in the world.
Okay.
Your food's getting cold in the other room.
No, it's just a really long story. But we were filming Dick Clark's New Year's Eve, and Jason Derulo was also filming that same day. And then Kevin saw him in the hallway and went up to him and was just like, "Hey, we're big fans." Very brave. And then Jason Derulo was like, "I'm a big fan too." And so they exchanged numbers. And
he seems like genuinely, like, the nicest person.
He is the nicest person. Yeah. Hardworking, so down to earth.
I know you're super media trained, but I'm like, you actually seem like you're genuine when I talk.
Oh, yeah, he's a good guy.
No, he was so good. It was fascinating meeting him and seeing how he worked in the studio. It was like, it was just awesome. I was speechless just watching and, like, listening to him. It was really,
he was
cool.
Extremely professional.
So nice, yeah.
And we got on a call with him, and then I just suggested we do the song If I Ever Fall in Love. It's a song I fell in love with when I was, like, a little kid. I, like, loved it so much.
You were, like, about 2 at the time.
Yeah. Well, I heard it when I was, like, 8 or 9 on the radio randomly, the acapella version. Mm-hmm. And I suggested that, and he was obsessed with the song. So he's like, "We don't even have to talk about anything else." This is, like, 5 minutes into the call. He's like, "We're doing that 100%. So we met in the studio, and we didn't really know where it was going to be, if it was going to be for our album, his album, a single, but we just fell in love with the final product, and so we had to put it on the album.
Thanks so much to Pentatonics for taking the time out of their crazy promotional schedule to speak with us on the show, and congratulations on your first number one album. Amazing. You know what time it is now, Katie?
What time is it, Keith?
It's time for my chart stat of the week.
Oh my goodness, yeah!
Hey, this week, in 1983, on October 29th, one of the most iconic duets ever, Islands in the Stream, by Kenny Rogers with Dolly Parton, hit number one on both the Billboard Hot 100 and the Hot Country Songs charts. The Bee Gees wrote the Grammy Award-nominated single.
I did not know the Bee Gees wrote this song.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, that was...
But I can hear it now that I know that.
it was that time where it was sort of post Bee Gees' heyday in terms of them being artists because of the disco backlash.
Yeah.
And so they started producing for other people. And so they produced, Barry Gibb produced most, or if not all, of Barbra Streisand's Guilty album,
okay.
which had, I am a woman in love, and I'll do anything.
Keith sings.
To get you yes. into my world and hold you within. It's a right I defend over and over again. What'll I do? And then they did Islands in the Stream. And they did lots of other stuff too, but that time they became like this huge production team.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was the first of four charting collaborations from the two country music titans, Kenny and Dolly. Mm-hmm. They teamed most recently, actually, in 2014 for another duet, You Can't Make Old Friends, which earned the duo a Country Music Association, or CMA, nomination for Musical Event of the Year. I have to say, this is one of my favorite songs.
It's a great song.
It's just so good. And this actually wasn't their first number one each. This was their second number one out of two for each of them.
Oh.
So now we're going to play a guessing game.
Oh, goodness.
Katie.
This is going to be...
It's actually kind of easy.
Okay, so I mean, is it Jolene for Dolly?
Nope.
Oh, it's not Jolene.
No, it's the other really huge
oh.
pop hit for Dolly. So before Islands in the Stream, both Dolly and Kenny each had their own solo
well,
number
for the
one.
Kenny, I'm going with The Gambler then.
Nope.
Oh my God, I'm not going to get either of these. Lady?
Lady.
Yeah. Okay,
Lady.
But Dolly, I'm totally blanking on anything
you know who
outside
produced
of.
And wrote
oh,
Lady.
Coat of Many Colors?
Nope. Really?
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
You're missing the glaringly obvious one.
I am?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. For me, Dolly is Jolene.
Pretty sure he was nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh, is it the I Will Always Love You?
No.
Well, that was probably nominated for an Academy Award with Whitney, at least.
Wait, can I do it?
What's happening right now?
Yeah.
Are you trying to play a... I don't know what it is. What is it, Keith? I think you have to give it to me.
Da, da, da.
You still have to give it to me.
Look, you stumble out of bed and you tumble out of bed and you stumble to the kitchen. You pour yourself a cup of ambition.
Oh, 9 to 5.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God, that is glaring.
Good Lord.
Oh man, my grandma would not be proud. She loved Dolly and Kenny. Oh man.
Maybe it's because we don't work 9 to 5.
Maybe.
Working 6 to 12.
Right. I was gonna say working 11 to 7.
Always trapped.
This does not
at
have the
work.
Same ring.
Yeah. And speaking of producers that you know did stuff that you wouldn't think of, you know that Lady was, I believe, both produced and written by Lionel Richie.
Oh, which also makes total sense.
Does it?
We're learning a lot. There's a lot of holes in my history here.
But you know who was in 90210, the reboot?
Yes. Well, like, and you don't. See how this goes?
But some things are slightly more important.
That's fair.
All right. Well, anyway.
Sorry, Mac Wilds.
There's your chart set of the week. This week, October 29th, 1983, Islands in the Stream hit number one. So that's it. That's all we got for this week. Any final parting words, Katie?
I'll just be going back to my desk to listen to Adele some more. Until November 20th when she gives me more music.
Speaking of Lionel Richie and Lady,
oh, yes.
have we all seen the
Everyone, if you
viral?
Haven't already looked it up, you have to see the Adele-Lionel Richie hello clip online. It's perfect.
It's great. So yeah.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Let's go out on, there's a theme that we've been doing this for the past few weeks, but it's working. Let's go out on Islands in the Stream by Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
You got to give the people their Islands in the Stream now.
See you next week.
Bye. Gender love is blue.